This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
1.8 million people live in the city of Kuala Lumpur, with many more travelling to and fro every day. Our capital's skyline is dominated by soaring skyscrapers, the KL Tower, the Petronas Twin Towers, but down on the ground is everything as it should be. There are plans, ambitious ones in place, for KL to become a smart city, a city for all. But before we get there, there are some issues that we need to tackle first. And to help us with those, this morning I'm speaking with Mayor of Kuala Lumpur, Dato' Sri Haji Mahathir Chengah. Dato, thank you for joining us today.
A very good morning. Thank you, Lima, for having me today.
So first of all, let's get started with the big topic that everyone has been talking about for these past year or so, which is COVID-19. I want to get a sense of how COVID-19 has impacted the day-to-day activities of DBKL, revenue collection and that sort of thing. Perhaps you could shed some light on this for us.
The COVID-19 pandemic has truly affected our everyday lives. Not only in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, but globally. We are conscious that we need to have definitive measures and guidelines to overcome the pandemic. We also have to keep in mind the livelihoods that has been impacted. If you can see in Kuala Lumpur, especially the penjaja, the hawkers in Kuala Lumpur. In terms of the impact to DBKL's revenue, collection. DBKL saw 800 million ringgit shortfall in 2020 as compared to the previous years. For the current year, we are also expecting a revenue drop of 300 million ringgit.
And this is on top of the 800 million shortfall that you saw last year?
Yes. So we are targeting this year.
Okay.
We are forecasting this year there will be another drop of 300 million. And we are estimating revenue collection to be 1.96 billion ringgit, which is 559 million ringgit lower than 2020's projected revenue of 2.52 billion ringgit. We may need to review and revise probably the budget allocation if necessary. That's all depend on the situation. But I am pleased to inform that an allocation of 8.7 million ringgit had been set aside for sanitation and other health program. Combating the COVID-19 pandemic is very crucial and important. I want the city to be a safe place for people to live, to work. I have made it clear to the DBKL's team that now, more than ever, we must uphold our responsibilities and duty to the city and, of course, KLites. This does not only mean we must assist with matters related to the effect of the pandemic, but to be more efficient in how we operate to ensure that all business licenses, development approvals, construction permits are provided in a speedy and efficient manner.
So, Dato, the question then that I have is, considering the extra shortfall that you're facing this year and the potential that you will have to revise your budget in light of the COVID-19 pandemic and the effects thereof, how are you going to be providing these more efficient services when you at the same time have to also potentially be cutting back? You know, what are the areas in which you can cut costs without infringing on the quality of service offered to KLites?
I still think that while we are facing the new challenge, the staff has also take this spirit. Together, we want to make and fight this pandemic to make sure we will be able to win in the fight. So, of course, we have to work within this new normal. We are looking at the new way of doing things at the moment, for instance, in dealing with the processing of planning applications, we do provide and look at the procedure again to simplify it. We are also offering certain incentives for the developers to face this difficult time. We are prepared to offer them a 50% reduction for the development charge. We are also offering certain assistance for the petty traders. They are given certain exemption, like 50% discount on rentals.
So, Doctor, just tackling the subject of hawkers and petty traders at this point in time, not so long ago, the Federal Territories Minister announced that traders would be allowed to operate from home. The opening up of licenses seemed very sudden at the time. Have you managed to soothe ruffled feathers, perhaps, from the existing license holders and hawkers who came out to protest this move? Particularly, as I understand, the Auditor General's report highlighted that many hawkers and petty traders had to wait months, some over a year and a half, in order to actually receive their licenses from DVKL.
It could have happened in the past. But currently, under the present minister, we have introduced the Wilayah Bebas Niaga from November 2020 to April 2021. Mm-hmm. With this initiative, traders can set up their businesses in many more permissible areas in the city. This allows petty traders a free opportunity to conduct their business. Anyone who wants to sell, they can do so, provided that they stick to the rules and conditions which have been set by DBKL. Once they submit their application to DBKL's licensing and hawkers department, the approval will be granted within 3 days, provided that they meet the necessary requirements. As of 1st March, we have approved 3,400 new licenses.
Doesn't it make it harder to regulate these operators, though, then, Dato?
I agree with you. It can be a bit tough for us to handle the enforcement side. How do we arrange them? How do we make sure they are actually running the business at the location that we allow them to operate, in order to make sure this incentive will not be creating nuisance to nearby residents? We have make it clear to our enforcement officers to be vigilant and to be omnipresent to monitor these sites with more regular supervision or site visits to monitor and to make sure the traders are complying our rules and guidelines.
When this was initially announced, Dato, it seemed very out of the blue. There were a lot of questions surrounding this, asking whether DBKL knew about the setting up of this new program before the announcement was made to the rest of the public. And I guess this also raised the question of, at the end of the day, who calls the shots when it comes to a federal territory like Kuala Lumpur? Is it you as mayor of Kuala Lumpur, or is it the Federal Territories Minister?
We have to work to follow, of course, provision of the law. And Federal Territories Minister is setting the policies and guidelines for the administration of Kuala Lumpur, or of the city of Kuala Lumpur. So we have to abide to all the policies, the guidelines given to us by the Federal Territories Ministry. We actually always having the discussion, meetings with the government officials from the ministry to iron out if we do have any policies that are not clear to us. So this is, to me, every week meeting is a venue for us to get clarification, to have probably feedback, to also offer some of our opinions on how policies and instructions by the ministry would be executed and implemented at the lower level, at the local level.
And of course, consultations and coming to an understanding are indeed very important, Dato. So why is it then that there have been complaints in the past from KLMPs, so members of parliament, about the poor working relationship between themselves and DBKL, making it difficult for MPs to do their jobs? At the end of the day, shouldn't DBKL also be giving the same amount of attention to KLMPs as representatives of the people and of the constituents as it does to the Federal Territories Ministry, who is setting the agenda?
To me, since I became the mayor, Atau Datuk Bandar, October last year, we do receive a lot of feedback, certain asking clarification from members of parliament in Kuala Lumpur. And these members of parliament, they are very dedicated and sincere in raising the local issues in their constituencies. We do have discussion. Sometimes members of parliament ask us, me and DBKL officials, go for site visits. We are very attentive. We are very serious in addressing any issues that was brought by the member of parliament.
When was the last time you spoke to KL members of parliament, Dato?
To Fahmi, probably I do WhatsApp him in responding to his WhatsApp.
That's Fahmi Fazil, Lembah Pantai MP.
Yeah, yes. Lembah Pantai. Probably 2-3 weeks ago, I had a site visit together with YP Anayo in Segambut. Probably, when was that? 2 months ago, 3 months ago. And I actually WhatsApp YP Tan Kok Wai probably 2 days ago, 3 days ago. And
are you planning more regular meetings with them in future?
It's all up to them. If they will have any issues to bring to me, I'm open to solve it together. Yes.
Does the nature of the mayor's position, though, make things complicated? Because the mayor is a politically appointed post. DBKL is understood to be in service to the people of Kuala Lumpur, the ratepayers and the taxpayers. But at the same time, as a political appointee, do you find yourself pressured to make decisions in favour of those who appointed you?
The issue is very clear. We will not be able to leave behind, for instance, the statutory plans as well as the guidelines. So these plans, if I can mention, the Kuala Lumpur Structure Plan and Kuala Lumpur Local Plan, they also help me to translate it, requests that came forward to me by the Member of Parliament or by the local NGOs or resident association. In translating it, I will be able to actually show the stakeholders this is the document that I will be relying on. So if I'm working within that provisions and also good that all these documents are statutory, so they give me guidelines, the right direction in addressing or in giving feedback, assistance to the people.
I'm speaking with Datuk Sri Haji Mahathir bin Chengah, Mayor of Kuala Lumpur. Up next, the KL Structure Plan of 2040. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Datuk Sri Mahathir bin Chengah, Mayor of Kuala Lumpur. So, Datuk, the KL Structure Plan 2040, the draft of which was published last year for public objections. And among the commitments stated in this draft structure plan is that DBKL intends to increase the amount of open space per person from just under 11 square metres per person in 2018 to 20 square metres per person by 2040. So this is effectively doubling the amount of open space currently available to KLites. But at the same time, Dato, you yourself mentioned earlier that one of the measures that DBKL is looking into to increase revenue collection is incentives to developers. And we are consistently, continuously seeing reports of parks and open spaces being taken up or coming under threat of development. So examples would be Taman Rimba Kiara, Taman Tiara Titi Wangsa, Federal Hill, even the DBKL nursery area in Taman Intan Baiduri. So in light of this, it doesn't seem as if DBKL is adhering to the guidelines or the structure plans that it itself is putting in place.
In our local plan 2020, there were a lot of area that has been designated for the green space or for the open space.
Mm-hmm.
So to change the green space or the open space, you need to go through another process as provided in the law. But when we did the 2020 local plan, while the plan was in the process of gazetting, there will be a time, probably, mismatch happened between what was provided in the plan mm-hmm. as compared to what was actually approved in the land title. There could be some mismatch then. But moving forward, in the 2040 local plan, there is a lot of coordination work done between DBKL and BTG to ensure the plan that we are preparing and producing, a lot of this mismatch information being organized and set up properly to avoid the differences or the conflict in the land title and the zoning that appear in the local plan.
But at the end of the day, Dato, the fact that DBKL, a major source of revenue for DBKL, is developer charges, raises the question of whether or not this incentivizes DBKL to encourage overbuilding in an area that is already facing a major property overhang in the middle to luxury condo segments. Is there a conflict of interest that is happening here? And if so, how do we resolve it?
I see it differently because, of course, a city needs to grow. As a town planner, we need to make the city sustainable. We have to offer job opportunity for the people to come and work in Kuala Lumpur to make our economy grow.
But is this going to come at the expense of our open spaces and our green lungs of the city, Dato?
Yeah, as I mentioned, the economic growth we need to encourage and continue. But of course, will not be at the expense of open spaces. Because these open spaces, as I mentioned earlier, is already demarcated in the local plan. And it is a statutory document. If we were to change, if there is an application to change this open space, they would definitely have to go through public objection, public opinions again. So it is a long process. Mm-hmm. But again, development charges not the only revenue that is contributing to the total income for DBKL.
Yes. How much does it represent, Dato?
About 10% of the total DBKL revenue. Probably around 300 million in 1 year. We can collect about 300 million. So what I am stressing here is that the moment change in land use zone is being provided by the plan, that's the only way you can change the land use. If it is not provided in the local plan, then you will not be able to change it piecemeal because that system no longer in practice. Previously, it was like that. But now with this local plan, the way we handle the planning application are more systematic and we respect the interests of the public at large.
So then, Dato, Why is it that DBKL has made the decision to bring the Taman Rimba Kiara case to the federal court? Because if it is the case, as you say, that DBKL is out to safeguard the and respect the interests of the public here in KL, the Taman Rimba Kiara project is being opposed by KL residents themselves. Wouldn't it be better for DBKL to say we accept the Court of Appeal's clarification and decision, a unanimous decision, might I add, rather than spending more public money on appeals against the KL public?
This is the way we see things, a process of the law.
Just because the law exists doesn't mean that you, by necessity, have to follow that process. DBKL decision to take this further.
But there are other things that actually probably highlight that.
Such as
the land in question already actually issued by PTG with the express condition for mixed development. The title was already issued before we gazette the local plan. So that's one issue. But I think there are other things that make us want to get a better clarification in this specific case. So let the law take its course. After decision has been made, there are room for appeal and then another avenue for us to seek another decision. So because of that, we are putting up an appeal to the federal court.
But is an appeal in the best interests of the residents of the city, Dato'?
If you were to read the judgment, I think there are a lot of planning issues being highlighted, which probably we need to get a proper direction on this. So I probably don't want to comment that much because that will, of course, lead to sub judice. Let's see how the federal court handles this.
So then, Dato, you have only recently come to the position of mayor. But prior to this, you are, a 30-year veteran of DBKL. So you have the experience of the organisation. But will you be able to inspire confidence in the people of Kuala Lumpur that these plans that you've laid out will be actually brought to fruition? I mean, I'm also a resident of KL. And there are areas that I know of in the centre of the city which are still regularly hit by flooding. There are sewage problems in major areas close to embassies within the city centre. These questions, at the end of the day, come back to DBKL's doorstep. You know, is DBKL doing a good job with their efforts currently? And can they adequately put in place the ambitious plans that you have in the run-up to 2040?
My whole life working actually in this same organization, which is DBKL, I'm quite well-versed with the system and the requirements of the law in this local authority. But I don't think that the public are not having good confidence on us. I don't think that. Because when we are preparing plans, we receive a lot of feedback, response, positive opinions from the residents of Kuala Lumpur. In that sense, we have set up our new vision for the new such a plan, as you are aware, is actually city for all. City for all means you definitely need to get a lot of input from the KLIs. We need that to ensure the plan will be able to translate the needs of all people of Kuala Lumpur.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Dato' Sri. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Dato' Sri Haji Mahathir Chengah, Mayor of Kuala Lumpur. This has been The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.